You open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, we'll be reading verses 3 through 7 of Philippians, the third chapter. In verse 3 it says, "For we are the circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ." Here in Philippians chapter 3 reveals one of the most influential characters ever to be found in the pages of our New Testament. No other demonstrates his appreciation for the grace and mercy of God better than the Apostle Paul. In Philippians, the third chapter, Paul reveals to his readers that he at one time had been one of the foremost of the Jewish nation. For example, he reveals that he was circumcised on the eighth day of his existence. This was the official physical sign of the covenant between the Jewish nation and the God of heaven. He was of the stock of Israel. He was not a proselyte, but one of the original stock. He was of the lineage of Jacob, a descendant of Jacob. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. This tribe always was respected as being a faithful tribe. He declares that he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. That is, he was a Hebrew of Hebrew parents. His parents had not lost their identity, as had the Greek-speaking Jews. And concerning the law, he reveals that he was a Pharisee, the Pharisees being the strictest sect of the Jews. And concerning zeal, he reveals that he persecuted the church. No other was like Saul of Tarsus in regards to persecuting the church. He gave every ounce of being, every ounce of effort, all of his persuasion, all of his influence in the direction of trying to destroy the church of the living God. And concerning the law, he reveals that he was blameless. Paul is saying that the Jews could not make an acceptable charge against him in regards to his efforts to keep the law. If we will look at Acts chapter 22, this gives us a little bit more information concerning the background of Saul of Tarsus. Acts chapter 22 and verse 3. In verse 3 it says, "I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God as you all are today. I persecuted this way to death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women." Here Paul again reveals that he was a Jew. He was born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but he was brought up in Jerusalem, the most significant city of that day. And he also reveals that he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the foremost teachers of that day. He was an advisor to the council, and he was known and respected by all. Saul of Tarsus had been taught the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and he was given the best education known by the Jews. And he reveals again that he was zealous towards God, not the type of zeal that we are to demonstrate today, but he demonstrated the type of zeal in regards to the destruction of the church of the living God. He gave every ounce of his being when he was Saul of Tarsus to destroy the followers of Jesus, to destroy the church of the living God. He took it so far as to causing some to be put to death or to be thrown in prison for following Jesus of Nazareth. But Paul could not, however, recount his background without recalling God. God delivered Saul of Tarsus from his background. If you will, look at, again, Acts chapter 22. This time in verse 6. Paul gives glory to God for bringing him out of this background of being Saul of Tarsus. Acts chapter 22 and verse 6. Now it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. And since I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. Then one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me. And he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour I looked up at him. And he said, The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Here Paul gives the last evidence to his background. He recounted his background, revealing to those who he was before he became a Christian, who he was before he became an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he's giving all glory to God for delivering him out of this background. Now, the first point I want us to think about this morning is what others thought about the Apostle Paul. We will be examining some scripture that will reveal to us that there were those who had different opinions about the Apostle Paul. If we will look at Acts chapter 9. Some considered the Apostle Paul as a threatening individual, as one who could cause harm to the followers of Jesus. Acts chapter 9 and verse 21. Then all who heard were amazed and said, Is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem? And has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priest. And in verse 26 it says, And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and did not believe that he was a disciple. Here these first century converts, these followers of Jesus, considered the Apostle Paul as being a threat. And you can just hear them reasoning among themselves. How can this man be on our side? Don't you know who he is? Don't you know what he stands for? He's come here for the same purpose in which he has lived all of his life for up to this time. He wants to destroy us as he has destroyed those in the past who followed Jesus. You're not fooled by his behavior, are you? This is just all part of his plan. He's not really a convert. He's not really a follower. He doesn't care about us. This is just all part of his plan. He wants to destroy us how he destroyed those in the past. So here in Acts chapter 9, these first century converts viewed him as a threat on their life. They felt that he was playing with them, playing a mind game with them, trying to get them convinced that he is truly a convert of the Lord. They thought that this was part of his master plan, so to speak. But because of our hindsight, we realize that the Apostle Paul was a changed man, no longer being Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor, but is now a follower of Jesus. And this would take some time for those first century Christians to understand that he was indeed a changed man. If you will look at Acts chapter 18, another view of the Apostle Paul. Acts chapter 18 and verse 12. Now when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, "This fellow persuades men to worship God contrary to the law." Here the Jews considered Paul to be an apostate. And you can hear them reasoning among themselves. "This man teaches men to worship contrary to the law of Moses. He's expecting us to hear someone else other than Moses. He's expecting us to follow this dead man from Nazareth, this man Jesus. He's obviously out of his mind. He's brainwashed. He's crazy." So here Paul is viewed in a different way than what he was viewed in Acts chapter 9. He was viewed as being an apostate, one to whom should not be listened to. Look at Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24 and verse 5. "For we have found this man to be a plague, a creator of dissension among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarene." Here Paul was considered to be a plague, one who would cause dissension, one who would cause division among the Jews. And you can hear them reasoning among themselves. "This man is obviously a troublemaker. He's out to destroy the Jews, out to divide the hierarchy of the Jews. He's called the ringleader of the Nazarene." So Paul is making a name for himself among some individuals. But some, on the other hand, viewed Paul as being an asset, one that could further the cause of Christ, further the boundaries of the kingdom of God. Look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 36. Acts chapter 20 and verse 36. Here Paul is viewed in a different light. In verse 36 it says, "And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more. And they accompanied him to a ship." Here, these Christians to whom Paul spent a good amount of time with realized that he would be leaving, and they realized that the chance was there that they may never see his face again. They show their appreciation for what he has done for the cause of Christ, the sacrifices that he has made on their behalf. They realize what an asset the Apostle Paul was to them and for all Christians and for the Lord and Savior. And notice the words of Peter in 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter had some things to say about the Apostle Paul. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. "And account that the long-suffering our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which those who are untaught an unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. Here, I want us to notice three things about the Apostle Paul that Peter noticed. First of all, Peter considered Paul as beloved. He had tremendous affection for the Apostle Paul. Peter considered Paul as a brother, brother being a term of endearment. He considered the Apostle Paul as being a brother in Christ, one that could be trusted on concerning the things of God. He knew Paul's priorities. Paul's priorities were no longer with the hierarchy of the Jews, being the foremost of the Jewish nation, but his priorities were with the Savior, with Christ Jesus. And he considered the Apostle Paul as being a brother in Christ. Also, Peter considered God's wisdom in Paul. Paul had insight into the deep things of God and recognizes that some of the things that were said in Paul's epistles were hard to understand. And because they were hard to understand, there were those who twisted some of the scriptures. The Apostle Paul was a man viewed in a number of different ways. Lastly, he was viewed as being a god because of the ability he had as an apostle, because of the miracles he performed. Look at Acts chapter 14, an example of this. In verse 8, Acts chapter 14 and verse 8, "And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, 'Stand up straight on your feet.' And he leaped up and walked. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Lycaonian language, 'The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men.'" Because Paul healed this man who was crippled from birth, the Apostle Paul is viewed here as being a god. The gods have come down from the heavens in the likeness of men. But this was exactly how Paul did not want to be viewed. And he corrects them. Look at verse 14. "But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes and ran out among them." This obviously upset the Apostle Paul. And in verse 15, "Men, why are you doing these things? Why also are men, we also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these vain things to the living God who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them." Paul is letting them know that he is just as much a man as they were. And Paul gave credit where credit is due. This lame man was not healed because of the word of Paul or by the authority of Paul, or by the will of Paul. This man was able to walk by the word of God, by the word of God that was spoken through the Apostle Paul. And he lets them know that the God who created the heavens, who created the seas, and who created all things, was responsible for healing this individual. Paul knew who gave the increase. Paul was just a means. God was the one who healed this lame man. So as we can see, the Apostle Paul has been viewed in a number of different ways. He's been viewed as a threat. He's been viewed as one who would cause division among the Jews. He's been viewed as a plague. And he's also been viewed as an asset for the cause of Christ. And he has been viewed as being godlike because of the ability that he had as an apostle. And this brings us to our second point. We've seen what others thought about the life of Paul, but what did Paul think about his own life? Well, first of all, he considered his life the life of an apostle. We can page throughout his epistle. At the beginning of each one of his epistles, he begins by saying that he was an apostle, chosen by Jesus Christ. So he considered himself as being an apostle of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you will look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 12. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though Paul did not have his training at the feet of Jesus as had the original 12, Paul declares that the knowledge he possessed concerning the will of Christ was given to him by direct revelation. Paul served in every way as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He performed miracles by the authority of Christ. He preached the gospel with power as revealed by the Holy Spirit. He considered himself as a wise master builder, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He didn't consider himself as a wise master builder because of his background, because of his parents, because of his education. But he considered himself as a wise master builder because he preached the gospel. And by preaching the gospel, he laid the foundation of God. He built upon the foundation of God. Paul was indeed very much an apostle. Not only did he consider himself to be an apostle, but he considered himself to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Paul willingly gave up all to obtain the blessings of Jesus Christ. For example, look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. But indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. The Apostle Paul counted all the prestige, all the glamour, all the honor, all the preeminence of his former life as Saul of Tarsus, as rubbish. He was willing to give up all of that for the cause of Christ. Something else he was willing to give up. Look at Acts chapter 20. In verse 24. In verse 24 it says, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish the race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Here Paul reveals that he did not count his life dear to himself. In other words, Paul was willing any time during his life in his service to Christ to willfully, without any hesitation, without any reservation whatsoever, to lay his life down for the cause of Christ. He willingly obeyed every wish of his master being Jesus Christ. He not only considered his life to be an apostle, to be a servant, but he considered his life the life of a preacher. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7. For which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth. Paul considered himself a preacher of the gospel. Paul preached not from personal desire, but from a feeling of obligation. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And verse 14. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Paul felt a great sense of debt for the grace and mercy of God. So he did not preach from a personal desire, but he preached because of his obligation. He felt he was obligated to preach to all men, despised and viewed as being great in some respects. And as a preacher of the gospel, Paul was to plant the seed in the hearts of men, the seed of the gospel in the hearts of men. And Peter calls that seed an incorruptible seed. He also considered his life the life of an ambassador. An ambassador is one who has been selected by the chief executive being Christ Jesus. An ambassador is one who has been sent to foreign fields. The Apostle Paul was sent to the Gentiles to preach the gospel to them. An ambassador is one who has been given credentials to prove his position. We know that Paul has been given credentials. The ability to perform miracles to confirm the word in which he would preach to the lost, being Jew or Gentile. An ambassador is one who has been sent to represent the chief executive. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Here Paul is not only including himself, but he's including all of the apostles. The apostles were ambassadors for Christ, spokesmen for Christ, speaking on Christ's behalf, speaking in Christ's stead. When the apostles spoke, it was as if Christ was pleading, speaking through them. Here we see Paul considered his life in a number of different facets. Considered himself to be an apostle. Considered himself to be a servant. He considered himself to be a preacher. He considered himself to be an ambassador. And this brings us to our last point. We've seen what others thought about the life of Paul. We've seen what Paul thought about his own life. But what should we think about the Apostle Paul? What lessons can we learn from his life, the life in which he lived upon the earth almost 2,000 years ago? Well, I believe that there are three valuable lessons that we can learn from the Apostle Paul. Number one, we learn from Paul that conversion is possible for anyone. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering, as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. In other words, Paul is saying, if God could forgive Saul the blasphemer, Saul the murderer, Saul the persecutor, then the God of heaven could forgive any man anything. The Apostle Paul was used as a pattern. If God could use a man like Saul of Tarsus for good, because Saul of Tarsus willfully submitted his will to God, then the God of heaven can use any one of us today for good, if we ourselves are willing to submit our wills to the Father, to the God of heaven. Number two, we learn from Paul a lesson in personal sacrifice. Look at Philippians chapter 3 again. This time in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. But indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Paul gave up all. Gave up his background, his position in the Jewish nation, his role as being a persecutor to the Lord's body, gave up his lifestyle. Who knows what type of lifestyle he had when he wasn't persecuting the church, killing Christians, torturing Christians. Who knows what else he was guilty of? And I believe that's one of the reasons why he calls himself the chief of sinners. He knew what type of man he was. But he also knew the position he was in now. That he was an apostle. That he was a representative of Jesus Christ. Knowing because of that, because he committed himself to Christ Jesus, he had the personal responsibility of giving up those things that would hinder him in any manner of serving Jesus Christ. That's a lesson, a valuable lesson, I believe, that we really need to learn from Paul. Those little things that we might hang on to because they make us feel better, or make us more popular, or make us viewed as being important. Those little things that we carry along, that little excess baggage that we carry along as we walk in this life. Paul gave up all of his excess baggage because he knew the importance of being in Christ and receiving his blessings. And number three, the third lesson I believe we learn from the Apostle Paul and his life is that we learn from Paul how valuable it is to be a Christian. It is the only life that can lead us to heaven. We learn from Paul how important it truly is to being a Christian. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Think about these words that he's saying to the saints at Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Here Paul is giving the saints at Corinth their priorities. And he's giving us our priorities. We're not to look, we're not to give our attention, we're not to let ourselves get caught up and the things which are perishing. But he's letting us know that we should have our emphasis upon those things which are not seen, which those things would never perish. We should be continually focusing our lives on Christianity, on the goal of obtaining everlasting life. And one last passage. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." A lesson, an example. Let us imitate Paul in the boundaries of his imitation of Christ. Not to look on the negatives of Paul and follow those, but to look on the positive of Paul and make those things a part of our life. I believe without effort we look at each other. Sometimes we verbally show how we feel about one another, but we also show how we feel about one another and about our Creator through example. Unfortunately, there are some Christians who are not a good example. And if you get enough of those together, they can play a powerful influence on someone who's trying to do that which is right. And sometimes we imitate those poor examples. Paul knew he had flaws. And because he knew he had flaws, he revealed the standard in the same sentence. Be imitative of me as I imitate Christ. All of us have our shortcomings. All of us have our faults. But each and every one of us can be a powerful influence for the cause of Christ when we want to be. And I believe that's what we should focus on when we look at each other in regards to trying to improve ourselves. We can be a tremendous help to each other, but at the same time, we can tear each other down. But if we take the lessons learned from Paul, imitate Christ as he imitated Christ, we can be the type of people that Jesus would have us to be. If there are those in the audience that have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, then you are being a negative influence for the cause of Christ. And you are not making any contribution whatsoever for the cause of Christ, but are his enemy. If you desire to commit yourself to Jesus Christ today, to be buried with him in the watery grave of baptism, then you have opportunity to do so. And if you are a Christian and if you feel that you have been neglecting your duty, if you desire help, the prayers of the saints, then you have opportunity to come forward as we stand and sing.